Wouldn't you love to get paid for doing what you love to do? If you're ready to move on to what's next, join us for Circles of Change with Dr. Zara Larson. Our uplifting live talk show on Saturday mornings from 10 to noon will have you circling back, not running in circles, to pull your experience forward in new ways. Advance your career, plus help others with theirs. Join us Saturdays, 10 to noon, right here on 104.1 The Truth, for pragmatic advice and unconventional wisdom. Circles of Change with Dr. Zara Larson, where your path is created by walking on it. Good morning again here on Circles of Change. You know, it's funny, many people say, Zara, where do you find your guests? Of course, nobody's safe sitting next to me, even in a restaurant, let alone on an airplane. But also, I find my guests by revisiting the list of people I enjoyed interviewing earlier in my radio career, as brief it has been here. And one such guest is here with me today, and that's Judy Klinko. And we first connected, it's been now 4 years.
Yeah, I think just about that, Sarah.
So, exactly. Yeah. Well, let's give an update to the introduction as well as the subjects we're going to cover. Judy could never have envisioned how a search for in-home care for her mother would alter her own life forever. In 1980, as a registered nurse, she held very high standards for treatment of people, especially those with disabilities and elders, but found the system sadly lacking in those qualities. And with a newborn under her wing herself, she didn't know a business plan from a financial statement, but she did know there was a need and met that challenge, founding Catalina In-Home Care Services. For over 30 years, Catalina has been providing compassionate, dedicated in-home care for the Tucson area. Judy simultaneous, by the way, saw the need to better educate caregivers as the aging population grew and continues to grow now in leaps and bounds. The Caregiver Training Institute was her brainchild, and it's graduated over 1,200 certified professionals in 10 years, and by the way, providing tuition assistance for many of those participants. Judy's leadership has raised the standards and changed the face of elder care truly in our region, adding more than $20 million annually to the economy while significantly reducing reliance on public assistance. But it doesn't stop there, as her newest venture we're here about today is the Arizona Direct Care Worker Association, focused on political advocacy for those whose careers have been at the bottom of the ladder, quite sadly, in terms of salaries and recognition. As a champion for underrepresented citizens, quite frankly, most of her life, Judy now gives voice to those who could not speak for themselves. And while her contemporaries plan for retirement, the R word, Judy really is stoking her creative fires for the next big thing in her life, to continue to advance advocacy work while improving the long-term care system and jobs for direct care workers. So with that, there is no moss growing on this lady's shoes. Keep going, Judy. You're an inspiration for all of us.
Well, thank you very much, Sarah.
So indeed, Catalina In-Home, would it ever dawn on you that you were going to found something that has had the longevity, the stick-to-itiveness, and the important role it continues now?
No, it really didn't occur to me when I was a hospital nurse, mm-hmm. And supervisor and acting director of nurses in New York City, in New York City Hospital, that I would move to Tucson, and that because my mom needed care, and that really home care wasn't known at that time, to be able to look at what could be created to be able to provide the care and compassionate care that people, you know, who are aging not only require but deserve.
Deserve. I think that word is deserve. And, you know, you and I were talking before we stepped in the studio here, is, in fact, Dr. Randy, our veterinarian before, said, is that, you know, aging is not a disease. It's a natural phase in all of our lives. And who's to say that we couldn't be actually more productive, inspiring and gifting to younger generations if the right circumstances allowed us to do that.
Right. Well, even with our clients who, many of them are very frail, you know, in their mid-80s and 90s, that, you know, when we send a caregiver who they bond with, and we're able to send that same caregiver back on an ongoing mm-hmm. basis, it's amazing how that elder contributes to the life of that that individual who's caring for them. So not only is the caregiver able to contribute, but the clients themselves, through their own life and experiences and their sharing and their coaching towards the caregiver, enhances the life of the caregiver as well.
Absolutely. And then what the caregiver carries on to future clients or back to their own family or
right.
their community.
Well, and particularly the way we do business at Catalina, we do a nursing evaluation and assessment before we begin care. And when our nurse goes out, we want to know, tell us about yourself. We want to know where people are from, what they did in their lives, who they were married to, how many children they had. And we actually document their story. Mm-hmm. And then when a caregiver is assigned to work in the home, we read that story to the caregiver. So when the caregiver goes out, you know, not only do they have the address and know that the client needs assistance with personal care and meals prepared and transportation, but they also have a history of who the individual is. So it gives them a framework as to where to begin the relationship. Mm-hmm. Oh, I understand that you were a teacher and you know, you're originally from Chicago. And it's amazing then, you know, people open up and they begin, they want to share.
Well, I also think it's a way, like in any relationship, you want to accelerate, particularly in one as so important as this, that bonding and that trust.
Right.
Because you're also with our elders, they're going to find themselves suddenly perhaps needing to ask for help on things they wouldn't have known how to do in the past, or they think they can maintain their independence and
right.
have to ask for help.
Right. And yet a lot of older people are very hesitant about having help, because it looks to them that they're going to be losing their independence,
right.
when in turn, if they're working with the right company who has hired the right caregivers, who are scheduling the right caregivers to their home, who are supervising, coaching, and supporting the caregivers, who are actively engaged with the client as well, that the caregiver becomes an extension of the client's arms and legs and gives the client the opportunity to have optimum independence despite, decline in perhaps their physical mobility and abilities.
Mm-hmm. I think that's absolutely right. I think the other piece of it for your caregiver, of course, is their job isn't just, or their, quote, client isn't just the elder person they're serving, but I have to suspect also the extended family, if there is one, that backs that care, that client up.
Right.
So your caregivers have to really be special people that maybe know how to balance and juggle the wishes of some and the not yet articulated of others.
Well, yes, and how we do that is, first of all, we hire 1 out of 8. We hire caregivers who are certified nursing assistants.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of home care companies will tell you they have certified caregivers, which really there's no standard for training hours for certified
yeah.
caregiver. But certified nursing assistant in the state of Arizona, they are required to have 120 hours of training. And through the Caregiver Training Institute, they receive 200. So we hire individuals who are certified nursing assistants, and who have experience doing the work. And then once we hire them, you know, we screen them diligently. We provide a very comprehensive orientation. And then we will we visit our new staff in the client's home weekly for the first month that the
exactly.
caregiver is on the job.
See them on job. Yeah.
yeah.
And I recall, of course, the subject of our first show 4 years ago was indeed everything that was popping and hopping at the Direct Caregivers Institute at the time. And so you might want to touch on the fact this isn't just, you know, death by PowerPoint slide presentation type material, reading books and taking tests. It's very active, engaged with your students in practicum.
Right. They need the skill development that, you know, for a long time, societally, we said, oh, women can do this work. And that's why it is designated for women to be the caregivers. It's like, you know, you were a mother, you were a grandmother, you were, domestic work, and you certainly qualify as a woman to become a caregiver. Well, you know, maybe that was a good fit, you know, 30 years ago, but with elders living longer, with constellations of chronic illnesses, and needing more attention to their healthcare needs,
mm-hmm.
It does require someone who has training to be able to provide the kind of care and services that the individual needs, and to be able to work effectively with the family who is going through a transition. It's very difficult to become a parent's parent. And to be able to be professional, to be competent, to have the family have confidence in the caregiver that's in the home, it makes a huge difference in creating peace of mind for the family, giving the family an opportunity to build to maintain their relationship with their parent.
Sure.
And knowing that when they're not there, that their parent is being cared for correctly and their parent is safe.
Well, of course, the other dynamic we have in this day and age, perhaps not nearly as much as when you started your business, is just the fact that so many of our parents are remote from us. I mean, my caregiving needs for my elders is that they're based all the way across the United States.
Right.
So to have an opportunity to work with a company like Catalina in home care, you know, regardless of, you know, your colleagues that have similar establishments around the country, if they so exist, it gives us a tremendous peace of mind because you're not just a 5-minute drive down the street.
Right. Well, and we also, through Catalina, offer geriatric care management. So for clients who, for people who don't need the in-home care at this point in time, but who need advocacy and assistance with navigation, need a nurse who can set up medications on an ongoing basis and who can accompany them to the doctor and, you know, be able to be there after the doctor visit to be able to discuss with the client what the doctor has told them. Because it's not a matter of intelligence with regard to health literacy. That, as a society, we're very ill-informed with regard to our health and particularly with regard to diagnoses and procedures. You know, the doctor gives big words. You're on complicated medications. Very often you can't even pronounce the name of the medication mm-hmm. you're on well enough, have an understanding as to why you're taking the medication and the importance of taking it correctly. So, you know, the geriatric care manager is not only there to navigate and coach and support, but to educate and really have people be able to understand what's going on with their bodies and, you know, the interaction of medications and procedures and treatments so that they can make good decisions for themselves and that there's somebody there to assist them to get clarity around, you know, what their options are.
And in fact, in these, you know, 30 plus years you've been in the business, the advent of the internet hasn't necessarily become our best friend because sometimes us as patients, you know, we unknowingly might arm ourselves with conflicting information that
right.
isn't necessarily been validated.
Right, so or the information's been put out by the pharmacy.
Exactly.
Yeah, but, you know, and by the pharmaceutical company.
To sell their drugs.
To sell their drugs, and you're not getting good information in terms of making,
or
being
balanced.
Able to. Yeah, right, balanced
information.
Yeah.
So, Judy, again, the prospect or your own career journey of establishing Catalina in-home care services and still, of course, a viable concern, you're then pitching in and you know, how in the world you juggled your time to also then start a not-for-profit that allowed the education of quality caregivers, not just for your own institution, obviously, but others throughout the region. But lo and behold, in the midst of the current of wasn't happening to be behind you, but rather in front of you, and that the of caregivers and getting just due in terms of compensation, in terms of medical benefits, representation in terms of, you know, in the various professions.
Right.
So that, of course, is the continued badge you're carrying now.
Yeah, well, I don't believe that we can really get to good care until we have a well-trained, stable, and I mean stable, that people are staying in the job long-term workforce of direct care workers. And between now and the year 2020, actually it's probably 2018, we're going to need to recruit and train 1 million professional direct care workers in order to be able to keep up with the current demand. So direct care work is the fastest growing job category in the country, and it's listed as one of the worst jobs. So it's right up there next to cleaning porta potties. So, you know, here you have compassionate individuals who want to dedicate their lives, their life work to caring for others. And unfortunately, the kind of jobs that are available to them, they just pay above minimum wage.
Mm-hmm.
So they're making between $8 and maybe $11, $11.50 the most on an hourly basis. That you have employers, home care employers, that are offering health insurance, but the individual can't pay their portion.
Yeah.
They can't afford it. And that the other piece of it is that our training standards are so low in this country that if you want to be a dog groomer in the state of Arizona, you're required to have 650 hours of training. Manicurist, pedicurist is required to have 600 hours of training. And we say in the state that caregivers are required to have training of 120 hours,
wow.
50 hours currently if they work in a small group home or assisted living community. And there's no state standard for training of home care workers. So, you know, here they're caring people who come and want to be trained. They are economically very often and educationally disadvantaged individuals. We provide training that really is not adequate to prepare them to be able to go out into a very stressful environment, dealing with complex clients with complex diagnoses, cognitive impairment, the family dynamics. Mm-hmm. So the environment that they work in is very stressful. And quite frequently, they don't stay long term. So up until the downturn of the economy, the turnover rate in the long-term care industry exceeded that of the fast food industry.
Wow.
And, you know, when you're going through a drive-through and a different person hands you a cold drink each time you you purchase one, it doesn't make much of a difference.
Right. It's a fairly automated process, standard
right.
work processes. You train people, but
right.
not
and
in the case of...
Not, you know, and think about your own personal self. If you had a visual impairment or you had limited mobility and you really are totally dependent on another individual to care for you, and to have to have, you know, not to be able to be cared for by the same individual on an ongoing basis, it creates a lot of fear and anxiety for the clients themselves. So, you know, we as a society that most of the issues around caregiver wages is tied to the federal reimbursement to Medicaid, that the governments, both state and federal, are the biggest purchasers of long-term care, and that based on the funding that the states receive for the Medicaid program, and then the money that goes down from the state to the employers or the providers, the money just isn't there to be able to provide higher wages for the worker.
And of course, with the economic downturn and then the sequester, that's even tightened the reins even more.
Yeah, exactly, and many of the home care companies who have contracts with our ALTIC program, which is Medicaid for the state of Arizona, either cap the wages on the worker or actually reduce workers' wages over the last 2 to 3 years. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it's a woman's issue. Women are predominantly the ones who receive the care. Women are the ones who provide the care. And we do need to do better for these direct care workers if we really are committed to having quality care for our elders.
So what's a beautiful recognition here for the role you're playing is that you've got a toehold, a big toehold, obviously, in providing the service. You're also working in the education and then also founding and establishing an association to advance just the education of the general population to know we need to stand up and pay attention to this.
Right. Yeah. And if people who have loved ones who are, this is an issue that's going to impact us all in a very personal way. And people are in denial. Baby boomers are in denial that they're ever going to age themselves,
mm-hmm.
that only 5% of baby boomers have purchased long-term care insurance. Well, everybody says they want to live to be old. So it appears, given looking at the history of our parents, that as one ages, one becomes less able. You know, people become sometimes more frail, and they need a helping hand along the way. And, and who's going to be there to lend that helping hand? People have less children now than they did in the past. Mm-hmm. There are less women who are entering the workforce at this point in time. So the question is, how are we going to build this workforce? And we better get to it real quick. And I would hope that your listeners, would begin to think about taking some action in calling their representatives. And, you know, we really need to create a movement around quality long-term care for this country. How are we going to build this workforce, but who's going to be paying for the care?
Right on. Well, Judy Klinko, thank you so much for sharing that impassioned plea of a recognition of a change in society and our social structure, and it's a change that actually we're all going to be part of, like you say, and want to get in front of. You can learn more about Judy's business at catalinainhome.com. Their office number is 520-327-6351. I'm certain she would welcome phone calls for those who'd like to be part of this wonderful advocacy movement she continues to push forward at this important time of her career. Thank you, Judy, for joining us here on the show.
Thank you.
Change is chaotic. That is, unless you embrace it, going places you hadn't dreamed were possible. The Larson Group, Architects of Change, is a leadership consulting, executive coaching, and career transition firm. We help individuals make the most of their current employment situation or to step forward confidently into a career transition. Contact us at thelarsongroup.com or toll-free 1-877-544-2580. The Larson Group, Architects of Change, helping others unleash potential through transformational change. 1-877-544-2580.